Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And the title of this message this morning, Give Thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 100. Those using the Pew Bibles is page 500. Psalm 100, it reads as follows. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Has the Lord been good to you this year? Have you counted all your blessings one by one and remembered that the Lord is good and remembered what the Lord has done? That is the question that we should have in our minds as we come closer to the end of the year. And I think it's appropriate then, friends, that our last sermon be on thanksgiving or thankfulness, because there is so much that the Lord has done for us. Hence we come to this psalm. It says here, it's a psalm of giving thanks. This is one of those psalms which were sang in the congregation of the believer, the psalm which were sang in the temple worship during the feasts which were observed by the people of God, to remind them that in everything they should give thanks to the Lord, and it is the will of God. So this psalm aims then to mold and shape our attitude and our character towards God. This is a psalm which wants to remind us and point us to God and remind us of him we must give thanks to, him we must rejoice in. It is a psalm that comes to motivate us, to lift up our eyes unto God. A psalm which comes to remind us to lift up our eyes and lift up our hearts unto God, the King of glory, and say, indeed, he has been good to us. Looking back, counting all the blessings, counting everything that has happened, and say, indeed, he has been good to us, regardless of whatever is going on, regardless of the life's challenges. So friends, it is very important for us all to know the importance of giving thanks. God takes serious the people who give thanks to him. Remember the story of the leper, 10 lepers healed by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 17. Remember that Jesus sent them to the priest, and only one leper came back to give thanks to God. How puzzled, how amazed Jesus was at the ingratitude of man, because he expects that we give thanks to him. So from this psalm this morning, I want us to answer three questions. Three questions are before us. Who is to give thanks to God? How is that supposed to be done? And why? So the first thing we observe from this psalm, firstly, is a universal call to all men. A universal call to thank God, a universal call to worship God. Verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Last phrase, all the earth. This is a call to all men, to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I assume, friends, that we have plans then for the coming here. But the question is, does your plan that you have anything to do with God? Have you put God first before you made your plans? Is God the ruler of all that is in your mind? Because if there's anything we need to do in the coming year, and it does not include God, we are bound to fail. If there's anything in your life that you want to do next year, regardless of what it is, and you don't include God in that, you are bound to fail. And even if you don't fail, you will have achieved nothing. For anything that we achieve outside God, it is just for us, and it doesn't bring glory to God. Which is why then this psalm aims to awaken our worship and praise to God, but primarily from a clear understanding of who God is. Before we can give thanks to God, we need to know who God is and what He demands from us. The psalmist makes it clear that the duty of all men is to come to God and make a joyful noise. We'll explain that later. But it is the duty of all men to come to God, the duty of all men to adore the Creator and the Governor of history. The psalmist is convinced that the world must be joyful, must be thankful, must be excited about God. Humanity must be consumed with joy and shout to the Lord from the heart full of gratitude. In verse 1, it is clear that all that has breath must praise God. All that has breath must give thanks to the Lord, must give thanks to Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, the self-existing God, the eternal God, the one whom we worship. The psalm reveals then that the creature, we are obliged to give thanks to God. We are compelled by nature. God has put in us that we should give thanks to Him. But sin has come and stolen that away from us. But we are obliged to give thanks to God. He says, all the earth, all humanity, all men is obliged to give thanks to God. Humanity is called back here in this psalm to come back to their Creator, to forsake their own agenda, to forsake their own dealings in this world, to forsake their worldly desires, to forsake man-made gods, but to look unto the God who is God of heaven and earth, to stop our desires to be equal with God, to divorce self-love and love God, to love the one who has loved us first, to stop our habits of wanting to blame God for all of our failures. People like to blame God when they fail. But whenever God blesses them, people forget to bless God back. But when they fail, they want to blame God for their failure. But we need to stop blaming God for our failures. People want to be happy, but the psalmist here speaks of joy. He speaks of joy, not happiness. Happiness is something that sometimes depends on us. Happiness depends on our daily routines. How we're living. How did I wake up this morning? But the psalmist brings us, calls us to come to God with joy. To demonstrate joy in the Lord. To have spiritual joy. Something more than happiness. Because people are locked in pursuing happiness. But as people pursue happiness, they forsake to look unto the Lord and seek for joy. They pursue happiness and look away from spiritual joy. Look away from the goodness of God. Look away from the beauty of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And concentrate on what tinkled the ear. But what tinkled the ear does not turn the heart. We need to look at what turns the heart. Because the problem is in the heart, not the ear. And as for us, church, we need to look back. Look back in the year. Personally, look back in the year. Ask yourself question. Have I done the best I could to give thanks to the Lord? Did I worship Him faithfully? Did I do my best to live for the truth? Did I live for Him? And I want you to notice here, this psalm calls both Jews and Gentiles, because both Jews and Gentiles are God's creation. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, God made us and we are His. Man is made by God, so no one is excluded, because God is creator of all. All men is called to bless. All men is called to come to God. He says, God made us and we are His. To say God made us, it speaks of creation. We are all a product of God's creation. We are not a product of a Big Bang. We are not a product of a monkey. We are not a product of anything. We are the product of God. He says, He made us. It speaks of creation. But to say He made us and then saying we are His, that speaks of recreation, not creation, but recreation. Recreation speaks of us coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in God and making Him our Redeemer and Savior, or accepting Him, because we can't make Him, accepting Him as Redeemer and Savior. We are His, He says here. But in the context of this psalm, the psalmist's mind was locked in the fact that God made Israel His people. He made Israel His people among many nations of the earth. It refers to God creating them and making them a covenant people of His own, the people of Israel. But to us, as we look at this word, because the Bible is written also for us, as we look here, we know that God has also created us from the dust and recreated us in Christ Jesus, His Son. So in that way, we are His people. We belong to Him through repentance. We belong to Him through the power of the cross. We belong to Him through the power of the gospel of God, the power of God unto salvation. We belong to Him through the blood of His Son, the blood of His Son that cleansed us from all sin, the blood of His Son that will never lose His power, the blood of His Son that reaches to the highest mountain and to the lowest valley, where me and you are. We must give thanks to the Lord, because we are His people. I heard of a story that one farmer was sitting in a church one day, just like you. He was sitting listening to a Thanksgiving sermon, just like you do this morning. As the sermon finished, the farmer went back home, but he was untouched. His heart was not changed. He went back home with his heart still hardened, until he was feeding his cows. He was feeding his cows in the barn. As he was pouring food in that trough where the cows eat, as he was pouring food, one of the cows came closer to him and started to lick his hand, licking the hand that is feeding the cows. The farmer was struck and cut into the heart because of his own ingratitude to God. He soon realized that even animals, they know the one who feeds them, but man forgets the one who feeds them and keeps them safe. Man forgets the one who gives them life to live. The farmer was struck into the heart, and he remembered the Thanksgiving sermon. He was convicted that day. He realized that animals knows their owner. Do we know our owner? Do we keep giving thanks to our owner? I know we do. The encouragement is, keep on doing that, for He is the one who has created us. Because friends, I don't think that animals are better than us. Here is the farmer looking at his animal. The animal was better than him on that regard, the regard of Thanksgiving. But the farmer went back to his house, cried out to God, kneeled down and prayed unto Him, "Save me, Savior, lest I die. I have not given you thanks for the breath that I take. I have not regarded you as the one who caused the morning to dawn, you who holds the sun to shine. I have not given thanks to you. I've counted all the negatives. I've counted the things that I failed on as the year started. And now towards the end, I'm looking back and I don't see my achievements." That's the complaint. We always do that.
But the farmer realized that, you know what? Even the one that gives you something deserves your thanksgiving.
As he saw the cow licking his hand, are animals better than us? Are we going to be reminded by a dog's tail swinging that we must give thanks to the Lord or give thanks to one another? Some people, you give them something from your heart, they cannot even show gratitude. Are we that kind of people? Friends, we need to move on then to the next year with a new mentality. Or if that is our mentality, we're going to move on to the next year with the same mind, a mind of giving thanks to God, because God has done great for us. We need, if a dog or an animal is better than you in that regard, if you fail to give God thanksgiving, you need to repent in shame. You need to repent in shame. Look unto the Lord and begin to praise Him. Look unto the Lord, praise His holy name. Give thanks to Him. Say, praise the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. The way they praise, give thanks, O my soul. Let everything that is inside me show thankfulness, show gratitude to the Lord, for He has done great for me. Forget not all His benefits, the benefit He has lavished upon us as a people, for keeping us safe, for bringing us here and leading us day by day. Indeed, my friends, perhaps there is so much to complain about. But we need to stop counting our failures. We need to stop counting our disappointments and our discouragement. You need to glory on your relationship with God. This is a call to relationship. He calls to all men, come, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We need to glory to the relationship that we have with God. That is what matters the most. A call to a relationship, a joyful relationship, a blessed relationship, a God-pleasing relationship, a relationship governed by worship, whereby you kiss the Son, just like the cow kissed the hand of its owner. We kiss the Son, we worship Jesus, for He feeds us day by day. He keeps us alive. Is that what you're looking forward to? A year where you will bless the name of the Lord. Is that what we're looking forward to? A year where we will give thanks more to God than we have done this year. Where we're going to give great worship to God. Strengthening your relationship with Him. Being obedient to Him. Because remember, it says, make a joyful noise, all the earth. It needs obedience. Are we going to be an obedient people of God as we draw near to the following year? Verse 3 says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. There is a special bond between us and God. And of course, friends, God cares for all people, all of His creation. But there is a special kind of care. There's a particular love and care that God has for a specific people, a people who are called by His name. He says, yeah, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Those who have come to know Him through His Son are His people. They may have not achieved so much in this life. You may not have achieved so much this year. You may look back and look at your New Year's resolution you made 2014. Nothing has come through 2015. You may not have achieved. But I want to remind you, you have achieved greatly. You have something that the world doesn't have. You have on your side Jesus Christ. He says you are His people. We have achieved something greater than the world can give. We have been nourished by a shepherd. We have been fed by a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You have not died in hunger and thirst. Your name is written on the palm of His hand. You are happy in the Lord. And that is the attitude we need to bring with as we come to the new year. Listening to the voice of the Lord. Listening to His call. A call to come to Him. Listening and considering the Creator to be our God. So who is to give thanks to the Lord? All men. God wants to see all people appreciating him. There's a call in that one, and I will make it towards the end. God wanting all people to appreciate him. But secondly, what we observe from this psalm is a duty call to all men. Not just a call, but now a call to duty. There is something that needs to be done. And this is where we're going to answer, how is this thing going to be done? Verse number one, we're just going to look at it briefly again. It says, make a joyful noise. So, friends, in the presence of God is not a place where we're going to come and be sad. In the presence of God is not the place where we come to be moody. In the presence of God is where we're going to be joyous in the presence of God. It is not a place where we come to be stuck up, but to give glory to God. In the presence of God is a place, an appropriate place, where we must be consumed by the love of God and show it as we worship him. We must be consumed with unexplainable joy. In the presence of God is where we must spread our wings, as it were, and fly high, as it were, showing our gratitude in worship, in singing, and in praise. We must come with vocals in the presence of God. When he says make a joyful noise, this is about making a vocal noise to the Lord. This is where the sounds of praise must exalt your soul and cause you to be blessed. Does the sound of praise, this is meaning now, does the hymn we sing in this song exalt your spirit and bring you to that state of praise? Because this is the place where we must be exalted, our soul must be exalted and cause us to bring glory to God. That is why, friends, in this church, though we use metals, sometimes instruments, to accompany our singing, but we will not allow the instrument to overshadow our voices. Why? Because we don't want something to steal our gratitude to God. We want to be heard. Doesn't mean that when God, we are singing and there's instrument, doesn't hear us, but we want to hear ourselves bringing praise to God. This is what the psalm is talking about. We must make the joyful noise to the Lord. He says, make a joyful noise. Not something that can be turned on and off. You see, that radio can be turned on and off. But the joyful noise that the Lord is demanding from us is not something that can be turned on and off by circumstances. Not something which depends on your own feelings. No, the joyful noise does not depend on your feelings, but it depends on a conscious attitude of rejoicing to the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. This is an instruction, my friends. It says, make a joyful noise. How to do it? You give yourself to the Lord. You give your inner self to him and be lost in his love. You need to be lost in the love of God. The first thing you must notice is that it demands you to take a step. To bring this joyful noise to the Lord, you must take a step towards God. You must come to him, as I was saying in my first point. And then make this joyful noise to the Lord. Be joyous in the eyes of the Lord. But to qualify that, the psalmist goes on to say in verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come unto his presence with singing. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. This is very important. The first thing you must observe here, the first thing to notice from this verse is that you need to labor for God as an expression of thanks. You must do something. You must labor for God, showing that you are thankful. Serving is laboring. Are we together? We must labor for the Lord to show that we are thankful. It says, serve the Lord. And I know that most of you have been laboring in this church. And if you did not get that opportunity to labor faithfully this year, you need to look forward to the following year.
look forward to serve the Lord with gladness, as the Bible says, serve him with gladness.
As the year begins, my friend, is that what is in your heart? To serve the Lord. Because it is very simple to talk about something else. But when it's come to serving the Lord, as Baba Ras was saying, we will come and put up a tent. It's easy to say it, but are we all going to do that? I'm making just an example. Are we united in serving the Lord? This is a call to all men. Now it's a call to you as those who are saved by God. Because I said to you, he says we are his people. Now we are called to serve him. We are called to labor. We are called to work. Christianity is not a place where we come to relax, but we come to work. We need to work. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So, you must serve the Lord without grumbling. Because if he says, serve the Lord with gladness, the opposite of gladness is grumbling. So serve the Lord without grumbling. Serve the Lord with commitment, allowing the implications of your relationship with God to affect your life as a whole. Because you have a relationship with God. Your duty is not to be like the Israelites of the past in the wilderness. They were always unhappy. But we need to learn from them. Because friends, ingratitude is a proof of dissatisfaction in the Lord. If you are always not happy, it means you are not satisfied in the Lord. That is what happened in the wilderness. People were not happy all the time. They started to act as though there's something wrong with God, while there was something wrong with them. Ingratitude is a proof that you are dissatisfied in God. It is also a proof of lack of love for God. We need to avoid to show lack of love to the Lord by giving thanks to God. The next thing we see in this verse is the privilege you have. A privilege that not all men have. A privilege to come to his presence. He says, yeah, you are welcome in the presence of the Lord. Come into his presence. Verse number 2. With singing, repeating what he said in verse number 1. Make a joyful noise. But the point is, you are welcome in the presence of the Lord. He calls those now who are ready to serve. Those who are ready to serve are welcome in the presence of the Lord. He calls those who have known saving grace, those who have come to Jesus in faith and repentance. So the psalmist is not expecting any believer to be miserable in the presence of God. That's the first thing. But the second thing, the psalmist is not expecting any believer to be absent in the presence of God. This is a call for us to know that we are always needed to be in the house of the Lord. He says, come into his presence. He is not saying, sit at home, enjoy his presence. No, come to his presence. He's expecting believers to come into his presence. If this was the writer of Hebrews, he would have added and say, in the new year that is to come, continue to seek the presence of God, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord is drawing near. Do not neglect the coming together of believers. The word come there as well is also an invitation. It is an invitation to those who have not yet come to the presence of God. He says the door of the Lord is open. Come and allow your heart to be instructed by God. Come and serve him with gladness. Remember Psalm 71 verse 23. It says, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. My soul also you have redeemed. That is the attitude that the psalmist is reminding us. That's the attitude that God wants from us. So friends, you need to be dedicated to come to the presence of God. To come to his presence. To allow nothing to disturb you from coming to the presence of God. If you're honest with yourself, you will know that there's so many things that you have allowed this year to disturb you from coming to the presence of God. Make it now your duty that you don't want anything to disturb you from coming into the presence of God. You are instructed here in verse number 4, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. This is another expression of saying we are welcome into the house of God. It is your house. It is your home. The house of God is your house. It is your home. That's where you belong. Where God is with his people. That is the attitude we must nurture. That is the attitude that we must have within us. Verse 4 continues to say, give thanks to him. Bless his holy name. That's another instruction. To bless his name, what does it mean? To bless his name speaks of speaking good about God. We need to speak good about God here. But also it speaks of speaking good about God among the pagans, showing them that there is salvation found in God. It says, verse 4, bless his name. Speak good of God. Tell the pagans about God. Because day by day, God shines his light for every man to see the beautiful world. Tell them about God. That must be our mission as the year begins. To serve the Lord and bless his name. To tell the world that there is God in heaven. To tell the world that the Lord has provided a way of salvation for them. Will you make that your duty, my friend? Telling the world that there is a Savior. God doesn't want people to perish, but to come and experience salvation in him. That he has made a way that whosoever believe may not perish but have eternal life. We need to come and give thanks to God, to bless his name. That is to live godly among the pagans, to be consistent in our salvation, to be consistent in our coming to the Lord, in our coming to church and worship the King. Coming to this place, whether it is hot or cold. Coming to this place, whether it's rainy or it is windy. Bless his holy name can also mean you now returning the same favor that God has given to you. That also can mean that. So as God blesses you, you blessing him back. That is to bless his name. Returning a favor. That is speaking of you blessing God with what you have. Not with yourself, like I was saying before this time, where you come and serve him, but now with what you have. This is a call that you bless his name. Returning a favor. Coming to him with humility. It also means to come to him with humbleness. Now not in singing, but now in prayer. That is humbleness. We need to be together in prayer. We need to pray together as a congregation. We need to pray as individual. Humility. We need to come and have this mentality with us that we must take further and must take to the following year. Because friends, biblical prayer is a proof that you belong to God. Remember, I didn't say prayer is a proof that you belong to God. Biblical prayer is a proof that you belong to God. Not just words, not just mumblings that people do, but biblical prayer. So as the new year begins, remember not to limit your prayer. You must not limit your prayer life. Come to the church, pray with God's people, pray with the believers, lift up your heart to the Lord. Even when your mind and your hands are caught up and busy with something, but you need to give your heart to the Lord. Because sometimes your hands may be caught up with something, but your heart, you must bring your heart to the Lord, bowing before him, bowing before his throne in faith and repentance, making a joyful noise and a joyful testimony of the gospel. I think that is very important, making a joyful testimony of the gospel. How do you do that? People must not see you as a miserable person, as though becoming a Christian makes people miserable. No. We must be joyful so that people may see the joy that is in the Lord. And our joy will attract people to the gospel. But if we are always miserable, people will think that Christianity is a miserable religion. Church, so we need to dedicate ourselves to serve the Lord with gladness, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to bless his name, to make him known in the world, to worship him in the congregation of believers, to pray to him privately and corporately, to commit ourselves to the church and assume responsibilities in the church with gladness. Did you hear that one? Assuming responsibilities in the church with gladness. That is to serve the Lord. That is to bless the Lord. But thirdly, we observe a call to recognize God's greatness. There is no way we can give thanks to him. There is no way we can serve him unless there's a genuine recognition of God's greatness. Who is this God? And this is the reason then why all men is called to worship God. This is the reason why all men is called to serve God. This God, he is not calling people to be slaves because he loves his people. He's a good God, as we read in verse number 5. Verse 5 says, "For God is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generation." Three things you see there. God is good. That's the first thing. God is good. That is why then we come to God. That is why then we serve God. He is good. We see there the nature and the character of the Lord towards his people. He's not calling his people so that he may see them suffer, because he loves his people. He says his steadfast love endures forever. He's not calling people to disappointments, because he's a faithful God to all generations. So he has not called us that one day we may be disappointed in him, or be disappointed in the decisions that we have made. He has called us to be joyful in him. This is encouraging, my friend. We look back into the year and then we bless the Holy God, because we see the precious character and the beautiful character of God. He says, God is good. In other words, our God is righteous. That's what good means there. It's not only God is good because he gives things, but this means our God is righteous. Our God is excellent. That's what it means. The psalmist shows a great understanding of God. Only people who understand God can know that God is good. These are the people who does not count the things that has happened in the past and put them in parallel to what God has been doing, and says, since this much has happened in my life, so God is not good. No. These people understand that God is good regardless of what is happening. So he says, God is good. The Lord is good to his church and his people. Why am I saying so? The word again in verse number 1, saying, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Look at your Bible. It is that Lord is in capital letters. That is a covenant name of God. That is Yahweh, as I was saying. So God is good to his people because God redeemed his people from Egypt using Moses. Now he's good to us. He has redeemed us as a church through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He kept his covenant, saying he was going to send someone to redeem us from our sin, and he did exactly that. He is a covenant keeping God. And then our God is good because he has allowed us to belong to him, one, but also that we may be called by his name. That is a good God. Can you imagine, even you as a person, if you know of a little boy out there who's breaking into people's houses, raping women, causing chaos, you start to hate this guy, but then someone comes and tell you that it actually is your child. How would you feel? But this is a good God who has allowed such people with such characters to be named and be called by his name, regardless of who we were in the past. But he has allowed us to be called by his name. The word good there can also mean that God is generous. It speaks of the generosity of God. That is when now God gives us what we ask for. And for that reason, we will give thanks to the Lord. He continues to say, His steadfast love endures forever. In other words, God is committed to love His people. So as you move on to the new year, God is committed to love you. He has a special kind of love, perfect love. Unlike the love which we find from men, this is absolute love. Which is why then church, day by day, God commands His love for us. He orders and He directs His love to His people. That is what this is all about. His steadfast love endures forever. In other words, there is no way where we can run and hide without the love of God reaching us. We cannot run and hide without the love of God reaching us. Even if we sin, we run away from the face of God, but His love is going to reach and find us, convict our hearts so that we come to Him and repent in ashes, because we cannot escape His love. His love is dedicated especially for His elect. His love is dedicated especially for you. So we need to move with Him, for He has poured His love upon us. We belong to Him. His love is our love. And according to this verse, God's faithfulness is to all generation. You see that? It says to all generation. In verse number 5. His faithfulness to all generation also endures forever. This speaks of truthfulness. God's truthfulness. That's God's character. A faithful God, but a God who keeps covenant, as I was saying. His faithfulness endures forever to all generation. Friend, you might have been lied to by people, even in the name of the Lord. There are so many people who take people in the name of the Lord, but I can tell you, friends, God has never lied to you. God will never lie to you, and God will never keep a promise that He has never made. He keeps promises that He makes. His steadfast love endures forever. We can see faithfulness there. God who keeps this steadfast love throughout all generations, regardless of whatever is going to happen between the time, from this time to this time, His love is stable. If He loved you when you were in Nigeria, He loves you today. If He loved you when you were wherever you were, He still loves you today. That does not change throughout. I'm making an example just so that you see the consistency of God and His love towards us. Will we not then give thanks to God? Will you not then burst into tears thinking of this steadfast love of God and remembering the many times you have shown ingratitude towards Him? His faithfulness endures forever. That means then even to your children, if you have been faithful to God, God's love carries over and poured out even to your children. If you have recognized the greatness of God, God's love will reach even to your children. That is why then, friends, we must bring our children to the Lord. If you recognize then His goodness, worship Him. If you recognize His truthfulness, give thanks to Him. Generations will come, as I was saying. Generations will go. Time will pass. People will be born and people will die. But the love of God remains forever. His faithfulness remains forever. Give thanks to the Lord. He's committed to make His faithfulness to remain throughout history until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. So, friends, even in the year to come then, we are worshipping a truthful God, a faithful God. So whatever we have for next year, we bring it to God because God is faithful. We give thanks to Him because He is faithful. All our tears that we have been crying this year, let's look up to Him because He will wipe away our tears. For God, He is a faithful God. Begin the year with a thankful heart. We have seen the hand of God in our lives. Let's keep that as a testimony. A testimony of the goodness of God. A testimony to use to cut through the dark times that are before us. Because as the dark time comes, you say, I remember that the Lord is good. And you are able to pass through dark time. We have the hand of God, the hand of grace upon the life of this church. Let's give thanks to the Lord. You have the hand of grace upon your own family. Let's give thanks to the Lord, regardless of what has happened this year. In other words, then, friends, there is no situation in this life in which we should respond negatively towards God. But with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart, let's draw near to God. The psalmist said, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come unto his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. And he has made us, and we are his. As the children of God, joy should be written all over our face as we think of the goodness of God, his gracious hand upon us. Not because we have everything we want, but we have everything we need, friends. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He is a creator God. He is a loving God. As we say bye-bye, as we say goodbye to 2015, it is not goodbye to the good things that God has made. Remember what the Lord has done. Give thanks to the Lord. Look forward to the better future here on earth, and also a better future before him one day. Because he is God, his steadfast love endures forever. So, we look forward to greener pastures. We look forward to great nourishment, like a sheep nourished by a good shepherd. We look forward because we are a sheep of his pasture. We have all that we need. And above all, friends, let me remind you, we have him. He bought us with a price. He gave his life for us, that we may sit here and be known as his children. He has rescued us from the pit. He has delivered us from sin and the power of sin. He has loved us with everlasting, unchanging love. So we must delight in knowing God. We must give thanks to God. Is that what you're going to do? Let's pray. Faithful Father, we thank you. We are filled with gratitude in our hearts. Indeed, the heat of summer in this place is draining our strength. But Lord, we are thankful to be in your presence. We are thankful because we are God who has kept us through time from the beginning of the year until this time. We are thankful because God, you have shown to be a merciful God. And we come to this place day by day to make a joyful noise to you. And you have allowed us to. Now, God, it is our duty then to call to all men that they may come also to save you, that they may also come to bless your name, that they may also come and say, God is our God too. We are the sheep of his pasture. Looking at that, knowing that they are saved by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. Use us, Heavenly Father, as the new year begins, O God, that we may draw all men to this fountain of life, that we may draw all men to know Jesus Christ and also give thanks to him. Remind your people, O God, that though we'll be happy in this life as the year passes and we join to the new year, and people will be making joyful noise, celebrating themselves, but let us not forget to celebrate you, O God, because you are God and there's greener pastures in the future for us, where you shall lead us to, O God, and keep us there. But let us not forget you. Let us remember you to bless your holy name. Let us remember you to save you, O God, to love you with all of our mind and heart, to bring our children to you, because your steadfast love endures forever and throughout all generations. Remind us, O God, that we may keep ourselves in you, and we can keep our future in your faithful hands. Thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.